Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, by the mic, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there. We're going to have some fun this morning. A little bit later, and just a little bit, we'll get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club, do some celebrating. After that, what year is it? Because we got to talk AOL.
We're going back to MySpace.
Yeah, we're going all that way. Yes, we're bringing it back, bringing it all back.
Okay,
along with the slang, we'll bring up all of that.
Rad.
Nicely done. That was deaf. What you just did there. That was dope.
Oh man! And everybody's gonna shut us off.
And we have the 10 most hated foods in America, and I want to see how much our audience agrees and disagrees with this one.
I'm curious.
Let's see what we think of this stuff. That's all coming up. And we're talking bears. We have bears, just bear story after bear story after bear story. Just there's a bunch
of
them.
Are we talking like actual like rawr bear or sports?
No, I know my audience well enough to know that they're going to turn off the radio if I say other bears. We're talking wild bears, actual bears.
Okay, good.
Not the kind that can't score. That's my bear. That's that's my team. Yes, Pooh Bears, all that. Yeah. 10 o'clock hour, we'll have some entertainment news for you. Looking forward to that. We're going to have a lot of fun there. And we've got some other good topics for you a little bit later in the show. We got a bunch of things we're going to be doing throughout the next couple of days. We're going to be out and about a bunch. All that coming up for you and so much more. And I got one here, Melissa. The most ridiculous things fans have left behind at festivals. could be interesting. Could be interesting. I did not get a chance to look at that one. I might need to pre-read
Maybe
that one.
Maybe you should have.
All of that coming up. But as we look at our National Day of Calendar, today is a couple of fun ones and important ones. And one of them is National Middle Child Day.
Hey.
It's a good one. This is all the middle kids out
there.
That's
me. Yeah. I'm a middle kid.
I wanted to celebrate you and my sister Jill and so many other people. Beans, my sister, has a birthday in a couple of days, and she is our middle child in our family. And the middle child, there's plenty of storylines and plenty of things that have been said about this one. Mm-hmm. For you, Melissa, do you enjoy being a middle child?
I don't know if I technically count, because I'm also the only girl in the family, and the distance between me and my next younger sibling was like 6 years. Mm-hmm. No, 4 years. Mm. 4 years and 6 years, and then 16 years. So
okay.
I think being the girl of the family, mm-hmm. yes, I did have an older brother that picked on me relentlessly. He was the only one allowed to pick on me and bully me, so did. There was some of that little veneer of protection mm-hmm. from other mm-hmm. boys, but yeah, I don't know if I really count as an actual middle child. I'm kind of like the middle child stepchild.
Very interesting. A little bit of this helps make sense. Knowing you now, some of this makes sense.
It's all clear now.
It's always funny to me how much you and my sister share in common. Jillian is like that. It's me, Jill, and then my little brother. So she's the only girl in the family too. And
it makes a difference. It really does.
It does. The middle child is a little different that way. Unless of course it's all girls that doesn't really stand out much. Mm-hmm. But a recent poll found a third of us are a middle child, or at least somewhere in the middle. 30% of 30% are the oldest, 32% are in the middle, and 26% are the youngest, and 12% are an only child. So it is kind of funny. It is kind of funny, Dad.
And then you've got the bigger families that have, you know, 4 or 5 children. Mm. I have a cousin who will have her 5th child in, October. And she's so excited. Their family is so adorable, but I can never remember their names.
That'll drive you crazy, especially.
If I get the first one, I can usually get the rest of them. Baden, Brayson, Tracelin, Taven.
Oh,
there we go.
God.
I did it.
All right. It is not your fault that you don't remember those names. It is, you know, that is not on you. That is not on you.
But here's the thing. I asked about this at the family campout, and her husband told me, he's like, she specifically wanted very unique names because she was she was a teacher with young kids. I don't know if it was kindergarten or first grade, and she didn't want any names that would have been in any way influenced by any of the children that she taught.
That's okay. Makes perfect sense. Completely understand.
It does.
That.
Once they told me that, I'm like, okay, I will struggle to remember them because they're beautiful names.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
They are great names. Just very not easy ones to remember. The meaning behind that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the middle child too. One of the things about that is that, you know, they're the one that usually, at least in our family, my parents seem to go out of their way to try to make sure that they knew that they were special, that they knew that they, you know, they were paying attention to them. Especially when my little brother was young, really little, and they'd do things with the both of them, or do things just for Jill that day, or just for Nick one day. And I don't know. I always thought that was interesting. I look at my mom and dad are middle children in many ways. So I didn't, you know, really think much about that, but they really empathized with Jill. They really kind of leaned toward that. Whereas Nick and I kind of fended for ourselves. No, I'm kidding. Nicholas is the golden child in the family. So Nick was definitely in the baby. And my parents were so much more, where I think my parents, like they joke about this with parents that have multiple kids. And the first baby, you're filling out the baby
perfect.
Book. Yeah.
Yep.
And the last baby, you're kind of like, he was born.
You're lucky we got you a baby book.
What did we name the kid again? It was the opposite with my family. Whereas my mom and dad really like locked in by the time Jill and Nick came around, especially my little brother.
And that's because
they were young. Yeah, they were young.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. And that makes a difference.
No
as well.
Judgment here. I turned out.
You're here. You're alive. You have all your fingers and toes. It's fine.
So when it comes to the middle child, that's all, you know, this is all interesting, I think, and I'd love to talk more about it. But I did want to find somewhere to take this. And so we go from the middle child to the middle seat and the middle seat on an airplane. Now, this is one of the harder things to get people to sell somebody on, the middle seat. Now, there's some people that prefer it. My buddy Will is a big fan of the middle seat. He prefers it. He will switch with somebody if he is on the aisle or inside. He won't. I shouldn't say that for sure. I know if he's on an aisle seat, he would give anything for that middle seat. And so he'd trade with somebody for that. But he's the only person I've ever known.
Perks. I don't mind the middle seat if I know one person beside me. Like if I'm traveling with somebody, I'm fine sitting in the middle as long as I know one person to one side. Otherwise, I feel a little hemmed in.
We have this article from a wonderful website, viewfromthewing.com. Viewfromthewing.com. the thought leader in travel.
That's a good name.
I like that. Yeah, that's pretty good. They, speaking of, you know, pitching this idea and you know, arguments to make for the middle seat, a travel writer for the site View from the Wing did an article on why the middle seat on planes might be the best seat you can pick. The whole argument is a little half-hearted, but you know, it's still there, and you can make the most of this. And while it may be a little half-hearted to some other people out there might be full, wholehearted, I don't know.
Yeah.
You get both armrests. We've heard the argument before. The only problem is not everyone agrees. So there's a good chance you're going to be at least getting just, you know, I think it's realistic to think you get one armrest. Yeah, I don't know if you're going to get both.
Yeah, it should be the armrest that's closer to the window.
Yeah, agreed. Airlines sometimes offer rewards for middle seat passengers. This is the only reason I know this is from Will has told me this. Virgin Air.
Yeah, because those are the hard ones to sell.
Right. Virgin Australia once gave out prizes, and Spirit handed out bonus miles, but it's not a common thing. The real perk is, you know, you don't pay for extra for the middle seat, whereas a lot of people will pay extra for other size seats. The other argument, it's the best of the both worlds. You can still kind of see out the window, and you only have to climb over one person to use the bathroom. There's only one person who might have to, you might have to ask to move. So,
I mean, that works if we're talking about a row of three seats. What about the really big airplanes where there's like five in the middle?
I've never been in one of those. Wow, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah, for overseas travel. Usually
I bet. Yeah.
That big of a plane. I was in an aisle seat on the window side when I did that, when I flew to London. But yeah, there was like five seats in the middle. And I just looked at that and went, whoa.
Me 20 years ago would have been so jealous of that, and would have, I would have given anything to have known what that's like. Me now, I'm like, I want to try it, but I don't know. I might want to wait a little while. I feel like the airline industry, and I am only speaking for myself. I you know, encourage people to do their own homework on these things, but I feel like the airline industry right now is a new cell phone, and I'm just going to wait until they work the bugs out. I'll go ahead now. I'll get the model a little bit later than everybody else. I just feel a little more comfortable, and I love flying. I really love flying. I miss it quite a bit, and I'm looking forward to getting back out there and flying again. Yeah. But maybe once they work the bugs out, you know, I'll get the new updated model. We'll see. And finally, you're more likely to make a friend. If you are a socializer, you've got two people to talk to. But if you're not that kind of person, it's not much harder to talk across the aisle or from aisle seat to aisle seat or something like that. But they do make this is their biggest argument of all of this, that you can make more friends, that you can get, you know, talk to more people. I like the idea. I like the spirit of that. No pun intended. I like the idea of it. I don't know that I've flown a lot. I think I've flown at least 10 times in my life. And I would say that not one of those flights that I ever get on were people necessarily the people that want to talk. They already have somebody to talk to. I haven't run into a lot of people. Now, in the gated area, a little bit more. But once we're on the plane, it just feels like everybody just wants to get to where their destination. And they're putting their headphones on or watching a movie or trying to sleep or something like that. I don't know how many people are looking at, you know what, I'm going to open up my friend book here and I want to make new friends.
It's also kind of rude to other passengers. I think it was actually the last time I flew, I was on my way back from Arizona. And there were two guys behind me, and they would not stop talking. And they were loud, and they were obnoxious. Like, there were points where I wanted to stand up and say, you know what, guys, chill.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just put my headphones in, and I tried to ignore them, but I could hear them over my headphones. It was obnoxious. So I try not to do that. Like, I might share some pleasantries with the person next to me. Just be like, you know, hey, yeah, that's a really good book. Enjoy the flight. Where are you going? But mostly we talk on the tarmac when you're either getting ready to take off or after you've landed.
Yeah.
That's the time for conversation, in my opinion.
No, I think that's good. That's good. I can think of maybe two or three times I've really had conversations on flights. It has not happened very often. I tend to be, everything I was describing before, I'm kind of that person. I throw my headphones on and I am locked in and I want to get to my destination, make sure I get to my gate on time, all those things. When I'm traveling with people, it's very different. I'll talk to anybody. But otherwise, if I'm by myself, I am all locked in and just ready to, you know, get to where I need to go, get to my destination and everything.
You know, I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure I've only ever flown by myself. I don't think I've ever flown with somebody else. Interesting.
It's fun. I like traveling by myself, but I think I've done enough of it. I've gotten a lot of my, and I'll
You've
do it again.
Your quota.
Yeah, right. You know, I've hit
You've
my
at least
mark.
Hit the mark.
I hit the mark. Hit the mark. We'll come back and we'll do some celebrating, everybody. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner, just for you on the morning show here at WFHR. You heard Pitbull. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. It feels good to say this. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there today, everybody. They're back open.
They are open after a week off.
221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Head on over there today. Put them to work. No, nice. Head on over there and enjoy. I was trying to stretch here a little bit, Melissa, because I cannot get Facebook to open, and this was happening yesterday too. I'm not on social media enough to know if this is a thing, like they're having outages or not, or if it's just my computer. I don't know, but I am not able to check out any specials or anything over there, but I encourage you to check them out.
I'm on it.
Oh, you're on it. Okay.
Hold on.
Well,
hold
you
on.
Can head to lcafewi.com, lcafewi.com, and find out more about our friends over there and check out that great menu of theirs.
Yeah, I love the beginning post. Well, we missed you.
Nice.
They have churro pancakes, a chiquilla breakfast burrito. I'm sure I said that wrong, but it's a mouth-watering Mexican classic, fresh homemade tortilla chips tossed with zesty salsa, your choice of steak or chicken, and topped with scrambled eggs, pico de gallo, creamy ranchero sauce, all wrapped in a warm tortilla. Ooh,
sounds
homemade
good.
Chips in a tortilla. Yum. Yeah. And then they have Ezekiel's famous lasagna or pork stir fry for dinner options, lunch options. That just all sounds good.
It does. I appreciate you reading all that. All I heard was churro pancakes. That sounds amazing.
Yes, famous pancakes topped with cinnamon sugar and drizzled with caramel.
My God. Oh, that's not fair. That's man, that is amazing. That
Sorry,
sounds
James.
So good. Get on over there today, everybody. Let me live vicariously through you. Head on over there, check it out. Man, good stuff. We take a look at our list of local birthdays, and we want more on there. Get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Mm-hmm. You can email us info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, and of course, you can call on up.
That's right. That number is 715-424-2600. If you have the Civic Media app, it's just a touch or two away, and it'll connect you directly to us.
And look forward to hearing those. Please encourage you to get them to us, everybody. We take a look at our list here. And Melissa, I need a 1 through 4.
Ooh, 4.
All right.
4.
Nice. Gives us that one. We get our qualifier and we help all the golfers out there. There we go. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Civic Media's own Eric Bergstead.
Happy birthday, Eric.
Eric, enjoy your day. Eric, one of those hardworking people in our engineering team that keeps this whole thing rolling. We appreciate you, man. Have a great birthday. And we take a look at our local list. And a gentleman who was with us yesterday on Playmakers for the fourth period, happy birthday to GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman.
Hey, happy birthday, Coach Paul.
Just a heck of a coach. A guy who has brought a great attitude, a camaraderie and winning mentality to the area. A person, when we, you know, the tagline for the River Kings is building hockey up and down the river. And this is a man who has taken this quite literally in building up the hockey and the sport and spreading the word of the sport, helping young people get involved in the sport, going out of his way, doing above and beyond stuff to do that. And just an incredibly intelligent hockey guy, really understands this game and where the game is going. It's fun to talk to him on air, off air, talking about this and everything. All that said, all that pales in comparison to the guy he is. Just a good man. Good guy. We're fortunate to have him here in town, to have his family here in town, and appreciate everything he's put into this area. We wish you a good one, Paul.
Yeah.
Enjoy your day. Talk to you soon, Coach. And we wish a very happy birthday to Sarah Voxvog.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Enjoy the day, Sarah. Hope it's a good one for you. We wish you a great one. Mm-hmm. And another happy birthday to Vi Dion.
Happy birthday, Vi.
Vi, enjoy the day. Hope it's a great one for you. Love that name. Mm-hmm. We get to celebrate Vi's birthday every year. It's awesome. Yay. We love that name. Love saying that name. And our qualifiers this year for this one, happy 58th anniversary to Ron and Jenny Stowell.
Ron and Jenny, happy 50th. Oh my goodness, wow.
58th.
58th. Oh, 58th. Yeah. I misheard.
58th.
Wow.
Man, that's impressive, Ron and Jenny. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary, you two. You're our qualifiers. Let's take a look at who you share your birthdays with. One of my favorite actors out there, Lakeith Stanfield, is 34. Darius in Atlanta, he was in Selma. He was in played Snoop in Straight Outta Compton. Was the star of the Haunted Mansion remake movie. He's been in a bunch of things. I think one of those guys that you would know if you saw him, kind of actors. He was in Glass Onion, I believe. Was it Glass Onion or was it the Netflix murder mystery with Daniel Craig? He was good in that, too.
Mm. Oh, I never saw it.
Maggie Lawson is 45. A wonderful actress, Jules, in the TV show Psych. She's really good. She's a very good actress. I really like her. Mm-hmm. Very talented. And I thought did an amazing job with that, in that cast, with working with those guys. I had to play the straight man many times and did a great job doing it. She was really good. Casey Affleck is 50. Wow.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of surprising to me. I don't know. I just always consider him so young.
He looks young.
You know, Ben Affleck is a far better than average actor. I wouldn't say he's one of the greats or anything like that, but he is way better than I think he's kind of gotten noted for. And he is he's probably a better director than he is an actor. And he's made it as a writer with Good Will Hunting, won an Oscar for co-writing that with Matt Damon. He's good. His brother Casey is far more talented. I mean that as no insult to Ben. It's not that Ben isn't talented. It's just Casey is that much more talented. He's just that good. Won an Oscar for Manchester by the Sea. Was in Gone Baby Gone, Ocean's 11, Good Will Hunting. And he was the star of The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. A fantastic Western. Casey's good. He's a good actor. And I feel like he's only getting better.
And I just feel like I've heard more about Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the type of movies.
Yes, I think that's part of it. Casey has kind of taken a little bit of a different route with the movies and things he's done.
But he named his kids Indiana and Atticus. Oh. Atticus Affleck.
Great names.
What a name, right?
Great names, yeah. Michael Ian Black is 54. McKinley in the Wet Hot American Summer movies. He was on The State, the old sketch comedy show on MTV. And he is currently on the news show with a couple of other people. It's on CNN. They just got
renewed. Have I got news for you?
Yeah. That's kind of one of the new news comedy shows that is making a great run right now. And he's perfect on there. I'm really happy for him. He was also the voice of the Pets.com dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was. He's had a couple of things in his career that are really noteworthy. I'm a fan of his. He's good. One of the greatest tennis players of all time. One of my favorite. Pete Sampras is 54. Fantastic Pete tennis Sampras. Player.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Peter Krause is 60. Great actor. Adam in Parenthood. Nate Fisher in 6 Feet Under. Captain Nash on 9-1-1. Peter Krause had a really good career. It's a really good career. I like him. Sir Mix-a-Lot is 62.
Whoa. Really?
Whoa.
Baby got back.
Yeah. Baby's got a bad back at 62.
Hopefully not. But
I hope
nicely
not.
Done.
Hope he's doing all right. I hope he's doing all right. I don't know. I think it's an interesting conversation of who has made the most out of their one hit for one hit wonders. I would say he's got to be up there in the rankings. I mean, as far as people who have made the most out of that, it's still kind of like Pete. You make the reference and people still know it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Little in the middle, but you got much back.
Still make the reference. Yeah, still get it. Jim Beaver is 75. Wonderful character actor. A lot of people know him from Deadwood and Supernatural. And let's see. Mark Knopfler is 76. Mark Knopfler. Dire Straits, guitar god. Sultans of Swing contains some of the best guitar playing ever recorded. My dad, and a lot of this is coming from my father, I'll admit. My dad, big Dire Straits guy. But he's right. Mark Knopfler, amazing guitar player. And he shares his birthday with skated past George Hamilton is 86.
Ooh, really?
George Hamilton is 86. His tan is 40. I have always liked George Hamilton. I saw him as a kid in movies, Love at First Bites and Zorro, you know, the Zorro parody and some of those things. He was on the Hollywood Squares and a lot of those things. But the thing I like about George Hamilton so much, George Hamilton is very aware of what you make fun of about George Hamilton. And he's very self-deprecating. He's very makes fun of himself, doesn't take himself too seriously. I really admire that in people. I admire anybody that can make fun of themselves, that can take a joke. He's always been very good about that. And a good actor. Good actor.
I like the name of the Zorro movie he was in. Zorro, the Gay Blade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's one. I don't know how well that would age, but yeah, that was definitely one of his bigger roles.
Mm-hmm.
And some people no longer with us, like three legends. We celebrated this on the Sunrise Show. Country legends Porter Wagoner, born in this day in 1927, and Buck Owens, mm-hmm. born in this day in 1929.
Wow.
Country music is nowhere near where it is without those two gentlemen, and they share a birthday. That's just amazing to me. One of the, when you're talking about film, one of the people you have to mention, Cecil B. DeMille, born on this day in 1881. The Ten Commandments, of course, his most famous production. Or maybe you know him from the Lifetime Achievement Award that the Oscars have. That is the name of the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Oscars is the Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Hmm.
That is going to do it for our birthdays and anniversaries, but we wish a great one to everybody out there. Celebrate and enjoy your day. You deserve it.
Yes, indeed.
And I can't think of a better way to celebrate than an El Cafe. Head on over there today, mm-hmm. everybody. 221
Get
Market
some
Avenue.
Pie.
Beautiful Port
You know
Edwards.
They're all fresh.
Yeah, yeah. And try those churro pancakes. My God,
yes.
That sounds amazing. Mm.
And then tell us how good they are so James has to go get some.
Please, please do. When Melissa and I get back, we're getting in a time machine and we're going back to 2006 and using American Online. The rest of the show going to be on AOL. That's right.
Ready for the dial-up sound.
When we come back on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you're having a good one out there. Mm-hmm. This music takes you back a little bit. It has almost a 70s vibe to it. So we went too far back in the time machine. We got to speed up a little bit. Move up a little bit.
Should
it happens.
Should have used Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yes, that would have brought us back to the closer to the right time. We've all been there. You get in the time machine, you hit the wrong, you mean to hit the 8 and you hit a 9. It happens.
Dang,
you know
it. Your flux capacitor just overloaded on you.
I don't know about you guys, but when mine's acting up, I just hit it with the palm of my hand. Just a nice tap, you know. No, nothing too hard.
I have one
hit
of those
that flux
small
capacitor.
Pink hammers.
I love the idea of time travel or whatever being so common that we just talk about it like it's a vehicle. Like a AOL. Yes, that's right. AOL announced their dial-up internet service is shutting down. Yes, it is. Is still an option in 2025.
Really? I didn't know that.
I think we could easily spend the rest of the show talking about why it's needed to be an option, why people do need it and stuff, and
right.
broadband and the need for more, you know. In
rural areas, yeah, we do not have broadband
And that's
in a lot of places.
But I don't think I need to mansplain that to our audience that is very aware of it, because a lot of our audience deals with it. So I'm not going to do that to everybody and everything. You guys know how important that is, and it's something to keep in mind when election season comes around or when we have bills proposed or any of these things. But sticking with AOL and kind of getting into this time machine with this, AOL is, yes, shutting down. It's how a lot of Americans first accessed the internet back in the 1990s. Back then, it was called American Online. They shortened it to AOL back in 2006. It worked through your telephone line, and you heard a series of loud screeches when you were logging on. The other drawback
was... It's a sound we'll never forget, though.
No, it is one of the more consistent noises our generation's period, you know, going forward, no. The drawback is, you know, you had to log off if your parents had to make a phone call and all that, which is always funny. I will never forget. My mom loves horror movies and books and things like that. She is incredibly difficult to scare or freak out or anything like that. The first time she picked up the phone, I can still remember the yell she made when she. I can't imagine what she must have thought that was. I don't even know. I never even talked to her about it. I just remember the noise and her yelling at me. So everyone used to get American Online CDs in the mail, offering free trial memberships. The first 100 hours were free, and then you had to pay. Broadband and wireless eventually lapped dial-up and made it much more obsolete. It felt like, for me, because I feel like I got online late. Like, not late, but like a year or two later than most the society was. By the time I was doing that, we already had dial-up. We didn't even need AOL or anything. I don't remember really using it too much. I remember my parents using it a bit. I myself didn't. According to census data, 160,000 Americans were still using dial-up in 2023.
Hmm.
That is around 0.1% of all internet connections in the U.S.,
But they need it because that's their only option.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't. There's no person in this country that, if they want it, should not have internet access. And there's no person that, I think you can make an argument, there's nobody who couldn't use it. There's people that need it more than others, but we can't do this to society. We can't move everything online and then not give a free access to it.
Right. It's not free, but at least have access available. It should be. I agree with you. Yeah.
At one point, cable was free. Cable shouldn't cost anything. And I'm not saying the major, I'm not talking about 80 channels for free. I'm talking about the three basic channels along with, a weather channel, a news channel, something like that. Like these things that we pay for it's been normalized long before you and I were born. We could have got it right with the internet. We could have made the internet completely free. And done this right this way. And of course, no, we couldn't do that because we got to let businesses and make millionaires billionaires. But we at the very least, could make it so everybody can access the internet. Yes. That's the least, literally the least we can do, especially considering, again, we've moved everything online. And that's not fair to older generations. That's not fair to people living in rural areas.
Where is the only free place that you can access the internet, James?
Yeah. The library?
Libraries.
Yeah,
libraries. Yeah. I think that's pretty much it if you don't have your own device.
Yeah. And that's that. While we love our libraries, and a shout out to them and our friends at Macmillan here locally, that's not right. That's a failure on us as a country. And I don't care if that sounds exaggerated or anything. You go ahead and think of all the things you need to get online for. And we're only getting more and more in that route as far as, heck, making appointments for almost anything nowadays. Any of these things. It's on us as a society. We got
to
stop.
They're pushing us to that. They're pushing us to do it online. Because as soon as you call one of those numbers, they're like, do you realize that you can do all of these things online and you don't have to talk to a real person?
Part of the
this animated person?
Yeah. Part of the trouble is we have gotten way too used to and normalized way too much looking at the world like we're the only ones in it. You know, Chris Rock has got a great joke about guys that walking around with a weapon that don't have no idea how to use it. They act like they act like they got the only one in the world. We approach politics, we approach technology, we approach way too much of society like it's just us in this world. It's the exact opposite. We need to be looking at it more of, okay, how do I work with everybody else? How do I work with the society? How do I work into this? And not just for ourselves, but with things like this, with the internet, or when we're voting, or any of these other things. If you want to just look at the world from your own perspective, fine, but go find an island. Go find somewhere else to be. That's not how this works. That we got to work together. We've got to make things roll together. And part of that is making things accessible for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Society is made up of individuals, and that's what makes it beautiful and also ugly.
How else are we going to ever get more likes on my profile if we don't start that's what this is about. That's what
are you trying to get dogs on the internet now, James?
That's about it. That those like dogs love me on social media. I am huge in the dog community. Huge.
I'm glad you rolled with that the right way. Thank you. Because as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh no.
So with AOL putting out the statement saying it routinely evaluates its products and services and decided to discontinue dial-up internet on September 30th. It doesn't mean dial-up is totally dead. If you enjoy, you know, if you need it, Microsoft Net Zero and a few other companies still do offer it. It's mainly used by people in remote areas where only option is satellite internet. Dial-up is cheap, like $10 a month or less, because it's a bit of a slower process.
Right.
It tops out at 56 kilobits per second, so it would take about 12 minutes to download a song using those formats, as we all can remember. A lot of us can remember, and some people are currently dealing with.
Well, and one of the things I remember about the internet in the early days is, like, I'd bring a book.
Yeah,
I bring my book while I'm trying to load pages, because you otherwise you're just sitting there waiting forever.
I was in I remember using this. I was in college, and I remember, like, reading, like, if I had to read something, I would get my reading done while I was waiting for my songs to download or something like that. Yeah, RIP to America Online. We got mail, so thank you for that. And getting us to this point, you know, these businesses, these industries, they will a lot of it will come and go. You know, a lot of it will, but we can't. I don't know. I think it doesn't hurt us to kind of, like, give a tip of the hat to all these businesses to get us to where we are today.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We wouldn't be where we are today without things like AOL.
Mm, you got mail.
which is free right now on YouTube.
Real quick note here, Melissa, some breaking news. So I have to jump in with Playmakers real quick here. Oh. Playmakers, We Speak Sports. Shout out to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, our sponsors. Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love to have procedure on left thumb, expected to be ready for week one, but still noteworthy considering the injury history he's had and everything. And it's a starting quarterback for the local team. You got to talk about it. Got to mention it. So we'll see how that does for him.
And the thumb is probably pretty important when you're throwing a football.
Yeah, it's on his throwing hand, I do believe, too. So that is noteworthy. But also, tough kid. One thing that doesn't get talked about with Jordan Love enough, he is one of the tougher quarterbacks in football. Just doesn't brag about it or doesn't, you know, wear it on his sleeve or anything like that. But going back to his days in college, tough quarterback. So you know, I have no doubt he'll be ready for week one, but still noteworthy, had to mention it. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and we're talking crazy things like, I got the most hated foods by Americans. We'll see what we agree and disagree with coming up on the morning show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Just a quick follow-up on what I was mentioning about Packers starting quarterback Jordan Love. Adam Schefter is reporting that Brian Gutekunst said that Jordan Love will undergo a procedure on ligament issues with his left thumb. The team is hoping Love can return by week one. So just added details to that, wrapping that one up. We'll keep an eye on that one for you. Got some good stories of the day and some great local events going on that we want to touch on before we wrap up the show. Next hour, we'll kick off, though, with some entertainment news, talk about some of the events we're going to be at this weekend and all other kinds of stuff. All that coming up for you. But right now, I want audience participation. You all received the morning show play at home versions. That is the Civic Media app. You can call or text us through that or call up at 424-2600. What do you agree with and disagree with on this list? Someone polled thousands of Americans to find out what the most hated foods in America are. And here are the top 10. And most of these, I think, are pretty guessable, but guessable? I don't know what that time.
Does that work?
But,
you could guess them.
But I do think that I'd like to hear from people about this. I think pineapple on pizza is one of the big ones that we go to, where I feel like my whole life, 50-50. I met 50% of people that like it and will die on that hill that it's good, and 50% that will refuse to even be in the same room with a pizza with that. I mean, it's just weird how it seems like such a divider to people. I don't know. But anchovies come up first on this list at 56%.
I expected that.
56% of people dislike or strongly dislike them.
I don't know. If I've ever had just like an anchovy, but anchovy flavoring is a really important for so many good things, like Gardetto's.
Mm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually had an anchovy. I don't think I have. But I can say with the way I am with texture, I don't think we get along. I do not think we get along.
I have many cans of sardines in my cupboard right now.
Nice. Yeah, I imagine. Shout out to
Noises Off. Yes. Yeah,
shout out to Noises Off and the cast and crew of that. Liver comes in at number two with 55%.
If you smell it cooking, I think that there's just no way you can eat it.
Yeah.
Because it just, I don't know.
There
are people who absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And that's great.
My papa, just liver and onions. You would see this smile on his face and you would be like, what did he just win the lottery? And then my Nana would walk in with liver and onions, holding her nose, and immediately come in with a bunch of rigatone for her and me. Sardines come in at number three, Melissa. 52%.
I was actually looking at ways to prepare sardines because, I mean, you're just going to pop open a can and eat them.
Yeah.
But there's actually a way that you can, you know, like bread them and fry them. Just kind of like schmelt. Which are good.
Our good friend Heather Sayers was in yesterday talking about the Nakusa Circus coming to town and some of that. More on that later, everybody. She was nice enough to give us tickets to give away. Keep on listening for that.
Nice.
Heather's been coming around a little bit more at everything, and I, of course, saw her in Noises Off and really enjoyed it. But we were talking, and at one point, I look up, and I'm listening to her, and I just saw the sardines falling on her. I was like, I gotta lock in. I got an interview to do here and everything. But all I wanted to do was talk about that scene with her, just completely out of nowhere. It had been completely out of left field. She had no idea what I was talking about. She wouldn't know what I was talking about, but why I went there.
Or the audience would have been like, what?
It was just so memorable. It was such a memorable scene. Great job.
Oh, and she did such a great job.
She killed it. Mm-hmm. She was great. So sardines are on the list. Next is tofu at 46%.
I push back on that because I just think people haven't tried it in a way that they like, because it's such a versatile food.
And maybe I haven't had it a lot of it or anything, because I find that really silly. Tofu didn't really have a lot of flavor to me or anything. No. It didn't bother me. It was kind of an add-on. I didn't really think of it much.
Well, and it's something you can use it to make sauces. I fried it a little bit in some, like I tossed it in cornstarch and then fried it in oil. And then I added in some veggies and a peanut sauce. It's fantastic.
I got to try that. That I would try.
It's so good.
To be honest, almost anything on this list, if you fried it, I probably would eat it. I probably, like, if there were boots, if Timberlands were on this list, I'd be like, well, you know, I mean, it's a good brand. Squid comes in next at 43%.
Squid.
Not calamari? I mean, yeah.
Calamari. I've had it as calamari.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever had it on sushi. Is that a thing you have on sushi?
I don't know. I
think so, but I don't know if it's raw or if it's cooked.
I will say I got in trouble with my family on this one, and I will get a lot of my fellow Italians out there mad at me for this one, but calamari, overrated.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's kind of a delicacy, or it's kind of rare in some places and everything. I think it gets made up to be a little bit more. Maybe there's a little more pomp and circumstance, but it reminds me of what's the other fancy food? Not oysters, but
escargot.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, is that how you say it?
Put a name on it. I don't know. Caviar. Caviar is what I was trying to think of.
Caviar. Okay.
It was so hyped up, and it was so much attention to it and everything. And, this is one of the greatest caviars in the world and all this. And I try it. I'm like, argh. What are you guys? You know, you're only saying you like it because you paid so much for it. Like, that's the only reason. Nobody really.
Price tag does matter.
Yeah, but I couldn't get, like, I wasn't looking at anybody, and when they were eating it, like, say you dive into a good cheeseburger or a nice steak or something like that, and you can tell the person's happy when they're eating it. Like, these people were not happy. Yeah. They were not happy eating it. And caviar comes up next with 43%, tied with squid. I don't know. Oysters at 42%.
Yeah, I tried those once. I wasn't super impressed.
Blue cheese at 39%.
See, that's wrong. Blue cheese is amazing. I shouldn't eat it anyway, but blue cheese dressing, like fresh made blue cheese dressing, is one of the most fabulous things you can have on a salad.
Agreed. Chitlins come in at 39%.
What are those exactly? They're kind of internal organ, right?
Yeah, they're pig intestine.
Okay.
Now, I had, from what I was told, I had homemade chitlins. And I'll admit, I didn't eat a ton of it or anything like that, but it was much better than I would have expected. Mm-hmm. Much better.
I had it in some, I don't know if it were pig, but some kind of intestine in pho.
Oh, soup. Yeah.
And they were really good. Mm. I was surprised.
Hmm.
Also, visually more appealing than I thought they would be.
Yeah. But chitlins is also one of the funnest things to order because you get to say chitlins. You get it's a fun name. It's a fun name. And finally on the list at number 10, sushi. 38% of people dislike it. However, 23% say that they love it. It's their favorite food. And it was the only one on the list that had kind of the counter of that.
That's one of those love hates. Almost like cilantro.
Yeah. Guacamole or avocados or something like that. I'm thinking of there's another one like that that seems like it's, you know, hit or miss, 50-50.
Right. All or nothing.
Yeah. I don't know how many of these foods they serve at Culver's, but we encourage you to head on. None of them. You can get stuff so much better at Culver's. And tonight, you can do it and feel great about it. From 4 to 8 tonight, it's VFW night over at Culver's. Go on over there, and 10% of all proceeds from both dine-in and drive-in sales will go to our local VFW. Get to your Culver's. Get some. Not only does the Culver's feel good, but as you're eating it, you're knowing you're putting back into your community, helping some of the individuals that helped us get to this point, our VFW members. Get on over to Culver's tonight. We'll mention this again before we wrap up.
And if you go after 4, you get to say hi to them.
Yeah. Be sure to do that. Make plans for it, everybody.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 13.